Oh. Great. On that note, thanks, Vaughn. It is 6:05 on September 8th, 2021, and I call this meeting of the Commission on Reapportionment for Ulster County to order. And our first order of business is to approve the minutes from our last meeting on August 11th. Does anyone want to so move?
So move.
Approve the minutes of August 11th.
I think I saw, okay, so Ken or Donna and Kathy seconded.
Oh, there's Regis.
There he is, finally.
Hi, Regis.
Hello.
And then we have to vote on approving the minutes, correct? So everyone who approves to approve the minutes, say raise your hand. Anyone disapprove? None seen. Great. So the minutes are approved. And then in our last meeting in person, we discussed adding two periods of comment for the public to weigh in. The first would be before we actually get started on the agenda and discussing things, for the public to comment on, you know, things that we should consider in today's meeting. And the second comment period would come at the end of the meeting to either comment on what we've already discussed or to add some other items in. So on that note, I'd like to open the floor to any public comment on the agenda items as they have been so thoughtfully written by Fawn. And perhaps if there's a lot of interest, maybe we could use the hand raising function on Zoom just to provide some order if people are aware of that. Or you can just remove yourself from mute if you have anything to say.
Deal.
Okay. It sounds like there's no comment. So I guess we will proceed to our next agenda item, which is discussing how to proceed with the role of commission chair and vice chair. We decided to roll this discussion into this meeting from our last one, because we didn't feel like we had, enough of our commission members to thoughtfully decide. But I think that there was consensus in the last meeting that having a permanent chair and vice chair made sense. But just to briefly open that discussion again, if anyone has any on the commission has any comment on the establishment of a permanent chair versus a rolling chair, please feel free to add your commentary in.
Well, I think having a permanent chair makes a lot of sense because you learn the procedures and you can expedite the meeting relatively efficiently.
Thanks.
Yeah, I agree with Ken.
I do as well.
Yep, I do too, Regis. I'm sorry that hey Fawn, could you start my video? It says that the host will not allow my video to start.
All right, let me take a look at that. Because I certainly want to see you. Both the co-host assign, allow to record, allow to unpin, report. All right.
I think I was on. My video was on at the very beginning when I entered, but no.
I don't know if I should put you back in the waiting room and let you in again.
That'd be fine.
Let me do that. Just give us 1 minute here. Sorry about technical difficulties.
It happens. No worries.
Yeah.
Same thing, Fawn.
I've never had that happen to me before, so I apologize.
Well, I've never had it happen either, but I'm not taking it personally.
Strange.
Well, we could proceed. That's fine. Fun.
Okay, I'll keep looking things on.
Yeah. One thing you could try is if you click on the participants menu, it'll pop up a little side screen, and I think you might be able to invite Regis to start the video. You can't force the video of someone else's camera to start for obvious reasons, but
right.
You can encourage the person to do that and encourage them to unmute themselves as well.
Regis could just log off and log back in again. Maybe that would solve the problem.
Okay. Should I try that?
Yeah, that's probably the...
Juan, does that sound like something I should do?
Sure, we'll watch for you to come back in to the waiting room.
That probably isn't the issue because I can't start my video either. I think it's a general setting that you toggled.
Oh. I saw you in the beginning.
Yeah, I turned it off and then I can turn it back on again.
I know I said it so we could share this. It's like the only thing I thought I had.
I can't turn mine on either.
We're dropping like flies.
Sorry.
Well, that was a good idea, Ken.
No, I must be at your end. You've got your camera on.
No, thank you.
Is there anything on like the bottom next to record or anything like that that you maybe have pressed by miss? By?
Yeah, I was looking at security settings. Turn myself on and off. Security settings. Allow participants to share screen, chat, rename themselves, unmute themselves. Oh, start video?
There you go.
Ooh.
Did there
that
you
work?
Ah. Yay.
Bravo.
Thank you, thank you Andy.
All right, well, on that note, I think our order of business then is to discuss who we would like as a permanent chair. And I have some thoughts on that, but I'd also like to open the floor first to others to comment.
I vote for permanent chair.
I guess maybe that's what we have to do first. Is that the case?
Make a motion that you want to keep
it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Yes. So to move towards voting on a permanent chair, would someone mind moving? So moving.
Yeah.
So moved.
I move.
Great. So on the topic of establishing a permanent chair, sorry, Juan.
So are you going to vote on making it a permanent chair on the motion for a permanent chair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yes, yeah. We're voting on having a permanent chair, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Great.
Hey. Yes. Now, who's going to be that chair?
Sure. Any commentary?
Does anybody want to be the permanent chair?
Good question.
I'll go ahead then. I would like to nominate Regis to be permanent chair. For many reasons, I think that he has really jumped into participating with gusto. He's done a great job. Along with his subcommittee, of course, of establishing the website, really thinking about what that should include, as well as coming up with the idea of us reaching out to community at town meetings. He spearheaded writing a letter on the prison gerrymandering issue. I think all around, he's just been thus far a very dedicated member of the commission. Not that we haven't none, the rest of us haven't, but so I would like to, if he is amenable, nominate Regis to the role of permanent chair. Hope others have comment as well, but I think he'd do.
Is that okay with you, Regis?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll second.
Definitely.
I'm on the same page as Sarah too. I was sort of interested myself, but I don't actually have as much time as I thought I did right now.
Right.
And Regis has been doing such amazing work and like really going above and beyond. And I don't think that I would be able to do that same thing. So I enthusiastically third or fourth or seventh or whatever I'm doing that nomination.
Looks good question, then.
Normally you would ask if there's any other nominations before you close nominations and vote.
Are there any other nominations or any other commentary for that matter?
Nope.
Okay. On that note, I guess I have to motion to vote again.
All in favor.
All in favor.
Aye.
All opposed? None opposed? Congratulations, Regis. You are our permanent chair.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad I have a picture now.
And on that note, something tells me I give up the reins of chairing tonight. So double thank you, Regis. Bravo to you.
You have to finish tonight, don't you?
No, I'm now. So thank you very much. My duty is satisfied. Regis.
All right. Well, then on that same line, it says proceed with the for vice chair. So does anyone wish to nominate someone for vice chair?
Andy, it sounds like you would prefer that. Would you like to be in the vice chair position, if not the chair?
I mean, I would certainly be happy to do that, yeah.
You have my nomination.
Thanks.
I second.
Anyone else? Well, I was going to nominate Sarah since she was so gracious and also so very capable.
I actually thought about Sarah as well.
Well, now it's a standoff between me and Sarah.
Well, Sarah, would you, I mean.
First one to blink loses.
Sure, I would.
Busy, so I don't know.
I would consider accepting as well. But I, of course, leave it up to a vote.
Oh. Okay.
Will there be a third candidate for vice chair? Okay, so we'll close that off and proceed to a vote. Now, Fawn, how would we proceed with this?
Well, there are seven of you, so someone needs to get 51% of the vote. So if four of you vote for one person, you should each just vote for one person. I mean, if you want to do a secret ballot, you could send me your votes in the chat, I guess, if you send them directly to me. I'm not sure. Normally, I don't think there's a problem with that. But
could there be a first vice chair and a second vice chair?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. That's actually a good idea.
I would recommend that to the commission, a first and second vice chair, and I will move that Sarah is first vice chair and Andy the second. Does anyone wish to have another motion, or would someone second that motion? Then we'll move on to another.
Second.
Second, okay. Would there be a motion to reverse that? Andy first and Sarah second. Okay, So that makes sense. This is quite a tangle. Thank you very much, Sarah. May we have a vote for Sarah as first vice chair and Andy as second vice chair of the commission?
I'll make a motion for that.
Okay. I second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anyone opposed? Okay. Well, congratulations to the three of us. Okay.
It's a testament to how well you've all been getting along.
Yeah. No, you do it. Okay. The next item on the agenda has to do with the mapping software and an update by Dennis and Rob.
Sure. Be happy to. So.
I think you can share the screen if I did this right.
Okay.
I don't need to share the screen. I don't have any software to share.
Okay.
I'm not sharing any software tonight because I'm at home. So there's no reason to share the software tonight. So we do have the desktop client in that's installed on my PC to manage the whole overall online thing. We just yesterday got it took them about 2 weeks to create a specific website to host and to be installed on our servers to host the online version. So that got delivered yesterday. So, and they assigned a project manager for us to get that installed. So they'll be working with Caliper to get that installed. So that will be coming pretty soon. So I'll get that all up. There is a website for it, but it's not active yet, but it'll be redistricting at ulstercountynewyork.gov. ulstercountynewyork.gov, yeah. So it'll be, it's on its own website and everybody will have logins and information from there. So we're up and running. We just need the data. And I know it's later on the agenda, but in my conversations with Caliper, I asked them about the prison population and they're ahead of the game on this. They are already talking to LAT4 on their own. So LAT4 will be delivering the data directly to Caliper, who will then give it to us in the format we need for the software. So there's nothing we need to do to do it. The software, the prison adjusted prison population will be delivered to us to use as soon as it's, as soon as they process it. I know it's going to take them a while to process it. And that's the update.
Yeah, did LAT4 give Caliper any indication of approximate time?
Yeah. When I reached out to them, they were extremely vague and they were glad that I had contacted them. They said they would contact me when it was up, it would be up. That was basically the response. And if you go to the LAT4's website right now, it'll still say 2012. So once it's up, it'll be up.
Right. Right. Yeah. I saw the letter that they had written to you, and it's pretty much what they said. This is of utmost importance to us, but there's no date yet.
Right. So okay. Hopefully by the end of the month. I don't know, but it could be later than that.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Well, we'll hold on that. Thanks for that, Rob. Yes. Go ahead. Oh, you're okay. Thank you. The update on the town meetings, Lloyd, who went to Lloyd?
Andy.
Andy. All right.
Oh, Andy. I did. I went to Lloyd along with Fawn. Unfortunately, Donna wasn't able to make it, but it was actually went really smooth and easy. There were, I would say, quite a few more questions in Lloyd than there were in, Sarah, where did we go? Was it Olive? It was, yeah. But it was, you know, similar format. They were happy to have been informed about the process and to learn more about what we're doing. And they were all really excited when I shared that they would be able to tinker with the maps themselves online. So that was a cool selling point to just share with them.
And I want to thank Fawn for stepping in for me. I have to apologize to everyone if it was something that just couldn't be.
More than understandable.
It was totally fine. And sure. Yeah, thanks Fawn for showing up for moral support, but I certainly am appreciative. I could have handled it by myself, but I was glad I didn't have to.
Oh, that's great. And Andy, excuse me, Travis, do you want to say something about Rochester that you and I attended?
We have fun getting there.
We did.
No, it was Rochester was nice. Again, their board was very very interested in what we had to say. It's nice to see all the towns, you know, being excited to hear about what we have to say and even willing to share some information on their own. I mean, I've learned a lot from just talking with their different board members and certain things that they had to bring to our attention as well with the different prisons that are in the area. Apparently, there are four different prisons in our area, not the two or three that we originally thought. So that is nice to know. And the fact that they're on board with having us, you know, work together and do these lines.
Yeah, not surprising that Rochester was informed. I see that Mike Baden is on this call, and Mike was terrific, and his board were very, very knowledgeable. That one town board member who was instructed us about the prisons and the count and the number of prisons within our county. I mean, I just thought that was great. They are very far ahead out probably of most municipalities when it comes to this, and looking forward to working with them. They were terrific. They were really terrific. Yeah. Okay. Well, we already had the update on the prison populations, and we're not surprised that it's not in yet. And there's probably very little we can do, and it could be a very dramatic change in the numbers. We don't know. We don't know what that's going to look like for the entire county, as well as the four locations of prisons in the county. New business.
Sorry, just if I could jump back. Sure. When I was on rotating chair duty, I was asked to request an update on, which I think I know the answer to, but perhaps the expert opinion, if Kristen doesn't mind weighing in on this, if the county legislature needs to vote on implementing the New York State law regarding prison gerrymandering, or if it's already something that the county needs to follow as a result of it being New York State law. Is it something we should be waiting on county action, or we can just be running with?
So technically I don't know the answer to your question. I mean, generally the state laws, as you know, Sarah, I'm not, right, and maybe everyone does, but state laws, have to be followed by the localities, but I don't know if there's something like I'm unsure as to why that question was asked, which makes me wonder if there's something specific in this law that says that the counties have to act. So I can get back to you next month, unless for some reason someone else knows the answer, but otherwise I'll find out for sure and come back with the answer.
It would definitely be helpful. I think it may have been that in like a previous version or unamended version, it asked the counties to, you know, take affirmative action that they were going to follow. But I think in its final iteration, it didn't include that. But I think it's worth just having the county attorney sort of the box on this, if that's all right, just since
for
there's-
For sure, yeah. I mean, I read it before the last meeting and I do not remember seeing anything about that, but that does not mean it's not in there somewhere. So I'll double check it, and I can, unless you want it before for some reason, I can just come back next month with that information.
Or if you're able to do it by email too, when you come up with it, perhaps that might be just a more efficient way of making you wait to remember to give it to us. But
no problem.
Thank you very much.
That's a great question, Sarah, and because that's exactly where we left it the last time. We weren't sure.
And that came up in Rochester as well, right, Regis?
Yes. Yeah. So it's a very legitimate question. It's one that I wouldn't ask. I would think, just as a lay person, not an attorney, that if it's a state law, that it trickles down in a way where the counties have to comply. But you know, that isn't necessarily so. So, well, thank you very much for following up, and I appreciate the question.
I would point out in conversations I've had with a couple of people, there was concern that the numbers from the prison are already in our counts and that we're not allowed to remove any counts. But I believe in this case, that was one of the concerns that I had heard mentioned by just conversations happening.
I think we may have had the same conversations with the same people, Fawn. And so I actually looked into that myself. I'm not the county attorney, but it seems pretty clear to me that there was active litigation on this in 2011, and the New York State Court of Appeals said that it was constitutional and didn't violate any state laws. So I think for our purposes, please, Kristen, jump in and correct me as just like the legal expert on the call in this matter. I think for our purposes, unless this commission is going to be suing federally, we really have to follow New York State law as it is, adjudicated from the highest court in New York State. We really don't have any, I understand it from a theoretical standpoint, what they were talking about, but from an actual like implementation standpoint, I don't see how it's something that we can really be like having a theoretical discussion on from our standpoint. So,
well, some of the samples that have been sent out showed the prison population subtracted from the town totals, but not from the total of the county. So you'd end up with a situation with the sum total of population election districts would be less than the sum total of the population of the county. And that would seem to be a awkward problem
for the law to
work out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that probably in 2010, 2011, I mean, it was in the end of 2010 that it was signed into law. Then how do you make this happen? And probably within the time frames, it was just going to be too difficult from the Department of Corrections as well as the redistricting going out across the state. So, I could see where, the
I'm talking about some of the samples for 2020 that were distributed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I think
that for 2010 or for 2010, it wasn't an issue.
Right.
I think the concern was that census blocks are not supposed to be tampered with and that the law would require us almost to be removing it. And I don't think that that's actually the implementation of it at all. And we're getting the data directly from the state essentially. And we're not taxed with removing, being given, these are the people you removed and we're not being told to do that. It sounds like we're getting the data and we're putting it straight into our system rather than we're not responsible for it. So the implementation issues don't seem like they're really there. The numbers being sort of awkward sounds like the software can kind of ingest that and pop it out in a way that makes it easy for us to do this. So.
Mm. That makes us feel protected.
Yeah, exactly. We're sort of Stockholm syndroming it in a way, right? We have to follow the law, and that's what we're going to do. So
we'll do that. Okay. Is there any other new business or old business for that matter?
Well, I had a question for Rob. He had sent out this list of 2020 populations based on the old districts, and I really couldn't figure out how he did that. So I asked him for some information so I could recalculate those numbers. The problem is, of course, is that the census blocks have all been shuffled around in order
to. I can go into it a bit, Ken, if you like.
Well, just an email to
here's where. So what I did was I created I did it in my mapping software. So I have the districts. And I can just select by district all the blocks within the district automatically and generate a number. So it grabs them all for sure. But as Ken showed in his email, yes, there is some at the block level, there is some moving around those numbers. Some of the towns do aggregate to their actual census numbers. Some don't based on the blocks. But all the blocks in the county do aggregate to the total for the entire county. So they are the same. They are all there in the county. So what the commission needs to focus on is when you create, I would try to ignore the old districts. I would create from the ground up block by block and do it that way. This way you aggregate to that 181,500, whatever it is, or less because of the prison population, and divisible by those 23 districts, and just focus on that. So you try to recreate those districts. It's just, it's going to be different. The numbers are going to be different prison population wise, and also the way they moved some of the blocks around. So I do have a list. I think, did I send it out? I sent out a list of, I create a list of all the towns that did aggregate to what they're supposed to and some that don't. So that's kind of interesting. But the important point is that it all does add up in the end. So.
But the the block definitions are quite different. I mean, there's over 6,000 blocks in the 2010. There's only like 4,500 in the 2020. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been split and some of them have been combined. You know, it's not a one-to-one relationship.
Right. So I ignored the 2010 blocks. Just know that they're all aggregate to be 181,000, and they're all combined to fit within the town still. So.
Is that a result of the privacy issues creating the fuzziness that the
block? You could too easily figure out. There are ways to puzzle out who a person might be. And if there's any question of being able to find that out, they have to fuzzy it up a bit. So that's what they did.
So they fudged up a lot of the numbers. Make our job more interesting.
Well, the numbers are the numbers. It's just a matter of it not matching what was previously done. And I think
the numbers. What the populations of the blocks aren't represented in the blocks. And you can have a block that has a lot of large population that has zero persons in the on the census.
Right, and that was the way it was last time too. But all you can do, you can't argue whether the fuzziness of the this doesn't represent because it's fuzzy. You still have all the blocks aggregated together. All you can do, because that's what you have to do with redistricting, is divide by the number of districts. You just have to be satisfied with the way it is because there's no way around that.
Right. Hey. Is that okay, Ken?
Well, this is just the beginning of a long process.
Of course it is. Yeah.
We'll be going block by block.
My intention is to keep up with Rob so that the commission has can deal with this on a more than just one person having to do the analysis.
You seem to be doing a pretty good job of it, Ken.
Well,
thank you, Ken.
We pulled in all the data from the 2010 and the 2020 census, plus they have some other files that supposedly allowed you to combine or to establish relationships between the two censuses. But those files really show it's all a mix-up.
Yeah.
They made a lot of changes.
No. Well, thank you very much. Is there any other old business?
One thing I wanted to bring up, when we get this website set up for the mapping, I'm going to put the link to it under draft plans. That's one of the categories on your website. We were just looking for a good place to put in that link and make it very clear to the public. We might even have like a link to directions on, how to if there's anything special people need to know in order to make their draft plans.
And I think one of the things the board's going to have to vote on is the criteria by which people can submit a plan. We can set that so that one, in order to submit a plan, they have to have completed all 23 districts. they have to make the plus minus thresholds. They just can't throw any plan at these. So you can set all those wonderful thresholds to make sure you're getting quality plans and not just mashups.
That's half done plans.
If you have other suggestions on the rules like that, perhaps it would be helpful to have an exhaustive list or a semi-exhaustive list if possible. I know that puts a lot of extra work on you, but I know that we're not necessarily familiar yet with the capabilities of the software. So
one thing you should know is in the charter language, it tells you what to preserve, what geographies to preserve. That would probably serve us really well with that. So check out the charter. Good starting point. Check out the charter language.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
Try to find that and send it to you.
Should we maybe set up a committee for that? Or is that too much?
Not a bad idea, actually.
We could. Are you interested in that, Travis?
What's that?
Are you interested?
Oh, shoot. yeah, I guess so.
I was volunteering.
That was smooth.
Do you want to think about that for the next time, Travis, and then we could and everyone else could think about working. Who would like to work with you on that, if possible?
Sure. Yeah, that's not a problem. We could take.
Yeah,
that's not.
But it certainly is academically right now worth a consideration for sure. Okay.
If I could throw in one more old business, I've received two questions in my former role as rotating chair. The other was if the planning board could give us a primer on the basics of census blocks, what they are, how they're used, how they are come up with, you know, anything that would be helpful in the actual, like, just basics of what a census block is would be very helpful to be explained.
I can give you a census geography primer, sure. That's not a problem. I can do a little PowerPoint.
Thank you.
That would be great. Sarah, I think you're speaking my language now, so I could really use that primer. and maybe a couple others here would as well.
I have one other piece of, I guess, noob, I don't know, business, let's just say.
Sure.
Which is, I wanted to ask Fawn, can you think of anyone else that we should be inviting to these meetings to give presentations or to meet with or to share information with us? Because I feel like there may be people, and like now during these meetings where we're a little bit dead in the water, seems like the perfect time to get them in to talk with us.
Certainly the Board of Elections comes to mind. We really need to embrace them. The last committee, one of their recommendations was that we involve the Board of Elections earlier in the process rather than later. Mm-hmm. So we may want to invite them to the next meeting or to a meeting soon. I believe I could look over the minutes of the last meeting. I believe the last committee did invite the majority and minority leader to come, but I don't know how much, you know, they, you know, you want to be an independent board, so I don't know how much, if that's something you want to do. I'm sure if they have anything, the last time we did this, one of the legislators made a really great point when they unveiled the map. He says, it's like looking at any picture. You look for how you look in the picture first. I'm sure they'll have a lot to say once you start unveiling draft plan.
Well, the last time they were, you know, people are going to lose their jobs because they're reducing the size of the legislature. We're not quite in that situation this year.
Yeah, I also have been saying this since probably day one with, you know, just the four commissioners trying to pick another three, is I feel pretty strongly of keeping out the legislators as much as possible, if just for public perception that we are truly independent. We are not colluding with elected officials. It maintains our respectability in our community. So I feel pretty strongly I don't think any of us would actually truly be influenced if we felt like it was not proper, but I just think that the public perception of it. Yeah, thank you. The public perception of it is worth just maintaining an arm's length with them.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, and from that recommendation the last time, Sarah, you know, we really were advancing the whole notion of really meeting with the towns and the municipalities so that they would know that we're in motion so that they can be in motion because we want to hear from them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that ties in very, very nicely. Anyone else on business?
With that,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, with that all said, should we then invite the Board of Elections to come to one of our meetings in the near future?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Maybe the next one before next we really get into like map making.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody okay with that? I think it makes a lot of sense, Andy.
If anyone wants me to take that on, I have no problem.
And I can certainly do that. We can ask them a presentation of their concerns and, you know, just generally maybe give us a primer on, you know, how they are going to deal with the information once we set up the.
Well, especially because I'm sure that that recommendation to get them involved in the process earlier probably came from something that happened. Do you remember what it was that was that thing?
I don't know. Dear is on the call. She may recall, or I can look back at minutes and things to see.
Just to know if there's like some pitfall we could be avoiding and learning from past experiences.
Well, I mean, from past experience with them, I mean, the election districts have to follow the legislative districts. So whatever is chosen, they have to conform to. So what their concern will be is, please don't change our election districts as much as we have to, so we can do less work. So we don't have to make as much, or make people so that they have to change their polling station so much, so it becomes more inconvenient for them. So that will be, that's the issue. Okay. Pretty much. There.
Certainly.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm sorry, Regis. I didn't want to step on your toes, Fawn. I didn't know. I apologize. I didn't know how that would be.
Okay. All right. And we will invite the leaders of the Board of Elections. Is that and then Fawn will make that invitation for the next meeting. That'd be great. The last item on this, or the penultimate, is the public comment, and these are brief comments coming from people who are participating in this meeting on any topic related to reapportionment and redistricting. So, Fawn, do we open up that for conversation? We open up the lines for that? How does that generally work?
I see Michael Baden has raised his hand.
Okay.
Mike, can you unmute yourself?
I can. I can actually go ahead and start video even. There we go.
Hey, Mike.
First, Regis and Travis, thank you very much for attending Rochester's meeting. Was very helpful, and apologies if we didn't get you great directions, but glad you made it. And just wanted to sort of echo what I've heard tonight, that the Board of Elections, from what I witnessed last time, is a very important partner. And I think if my memory serves me right, they weren't brought in to the discussion till after the districts were created. And they had to do, as Rob put it, a bit of jumping through hoops to create their election districts because they do have to follow. But also bear in mind that they don't have to follow balanced numbering within their election districts, because their election districts that they're creating are within municipalities. So they don't have to be equal numbers by election district. So there's a lot more leeway in that point, but definitely bringing them into the conversation early, I think, is a great, great idea. It's exciting that the public will be able to work with the software directly, or at least that's what I think I'm hearing. So it's just definitely looking forward to the process and how it goes.
That's great. We appreciate your leadership on this, Mike. Anyone else wish to come forward? Raise your hand, please.
Okay, I think Carol's good. So the only
more public comments, I move to adjourn.
Fawn, did you say anybody else has
well, Carol is here, but it doesn't look like she's unmuting. She wants to comment.
Well, let me just say really quickly, I am delighted to see how well you folks seem to be working with each other.
Thank you, Carol.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you. Okay. Well, and it looks like the last item of the agenda is adjournment. May I have a motion to adjourn this August meeting?
Also move.
Travis. Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. See you soon, everyone.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good month. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.